Caroline, Willie, D Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Willie D, D Mace out of Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. I am on remote today. Willie D, D Mace, how we doing?
Doing wonderful. It's a good Monday morning. Well, yeah, morning, afternoon slash, I guess.
I notice a little warmer in here than it is on some game days, which is kind of sad because that means, you know, there's not a hockey game coming up here because this time of the year, when it gets warm outside, you got to really get the refrigeration going in here. And, man, you better bring some layers.
Got to bring my
in
double
here.
Heat pack.
So I still, out of habit, had like four layers, so I've gone down a layer here. It's, you know, it's actually normal inside temperature in here, but just coming off of that press conference, I got a chance to watch it just around the corner here from where we're sitting here at Barrel House, and, you know, very interesting stuff. Like, really, the final end-of-a-year press conference for David Poile. I mean, that's historical right there, and you could tell it was a little different for him, and he was talking about it. Then you have this new beginning with Barry Trotz, which is really exciting. And then you had a third guy up there, John Hines, who, you know, is not, as we sit here today, publicly assured that he's coming back for next year. That, you know, Barry Trotz said, you know, respect the process. He's under contract. Everything that Barry Trotz said about John Hines was very positive, but they stopped short of saying, yeah, he's going to be the coach next year. So read into that as you will, but very detailed stuff. I mean, you get that every time with Barry Trotz. Some really interesting insights from John Hines and David Poile. So pretty captivating hour, I would say.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. And that's one thing that I've noticed about Barry Trotz, getting to learn him a little bit more over the last couple of months since it was officially announced that he would be taking over as Predators general manager. He doesn't really hold back a lot. He really will give you a peek behind the curtain of what he's thinking. Now, he's not going to lay it out there on the table. He's not going to say for certain that John Hines is going to be back, or Ryan Johansson, or Matt Duchene, or any of these question marks about coaches and personnel that we have about this team going into 2023. But he will give you a peek into exactly what he is thinking. And he did that about John Hines today. Now, we quick here, since we were late getting in, the press conference went a little bit long, but that's what I want to get into coming up next. I think it was a very telling response that Barry Trotz had about John Hines, and honestly, a very honest response about the future of John Hines and the Nashville Predators organization. We'll get into that coming up next. And today was a press conference for you, so today is a show for you as well. We'll get your thoughts early. We'll get to your thoughts often. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on this, if you have a thought on John Hines, Barry Trotz, and David Poile's press conference earlier today. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Barry, this is for you. I think the answer might be obvious, but first of all, is the plan to keep John at least going into next season as the coach of this team?
Well, John has a contract, and as I said, this will be a process. And I'm going to evaluate, you know, from the players to the staff to John. He's, we're going to talk about his plan for next year and go from there. That's the process, and you've got to respect the process. It's the same process that David has gone through with me for a long time, so I don't think he was able to answer that question right away when you asked me that.
That was Barry Trotz earlier this morning in the Predators end of season press conference. No definitive answer about the future of John Hines, which I don't think we really expected today anyway, but I do have to give Barry Trotz a whole lot of credit. That's not a comfortable response to give while John Hines is sitting right there. But it was very honest, and I think that is how Barry Trotz feels, is right now, John Hines is under contract. Could that change? Possibly. Could he be back next year? Possibly. They have to go through the process and go through the powers that be in order to make up his mind definitively. So it would be very easy for Barry Trotz to just kind of blow smoke up John Hines' butt because he's sitting right there. But I think it was an honest answer, and I have to give him credit for being completely honest.
You know, what's interesting about it to me, just for the context of it, you know, if you only hear that, and this is probably what's going to happen, this is what happens, you know, around a league, around a city, if you only played that clip all day, and that's the only thing you as a as a fan here on this station, or if you're listening to the NHL Network or NHL Network Radio, you'd say, ooh, I don't know if John Hines is back. Mm. If you listen to the entire press conference and you watched all three of them interact, and that answer that or, and that question wasn't asked, you'd be really hard-pressed to think that John Hines is not coming back. So just for some context, what they did say was they are still in the process of having the exit meetings with the players. They've had the exit meetings with the young players. They've sent a bunch of them off to Milwaukee. They have the veteran players, for the most part, still are going to have their last meetings. I'm guessing Barry Trotz wants to get some feedback from them. He also said he hasn't really had the full give me your plan for next year meeting with this coaching staff. So I found it interesting. Like, I was wondering, look, if you're going to bring John Hines to the press conference, doesn't that mean he's back? Like, how could you bring him up? And if you're John Hines, I mean, you would definitely, maybe, at least to yourself, ask the question, do I really want to be at this press conference if I'm not sure I'm back as the head coach? I think that's a fair thing. But I think they discussed it, and they decided this is the way they're going to go, and everybody was all right with it. So it's hard to know, but my gut feeling is telling me, like, it would really be hard for me to read all the body language in there, and then all of a sudden they turn around in a couple of days and say he's gone. I that's just my read on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part, because I've said for a while I really do believe in John Hines as the coach, so I got to take my feelings out of it, and I'm just trying to read what I saw there. But it's kind of compelling there, that answer, compared to everything else that we heard.
Yeah, I guess it would be kind of awkward to sit there while, you know, the your new GM is giving this press conference and he's discussing your future right next to you, but you only got a year left on your contract, and it seems like the whole thing is still up in the air. And for you have to come on, you know, at the podium with him and sort of listen to where he thinks the team is, what he liked about the team, what he didn't like, how can they improve? You're sitting there and you as a coach, and you're sitting there and you're wondering, like, man, am I going to be even a part of this plan moving forward? But I'm sure they've had a discussion prior to John coming on the stage with them. And you know, like you said, Caroline, Trotsky was just honest. And you got to like that as a head coach. Like, listen, I know where he stands. Good, bad, or indifferent, I know where he stands. So I can respect that. And going on the stage, I mean, going at, you know, to the presser, being on a podium isn't as bad as it may seem, because we've had this talk. I understand where we're at. I understand that he's still making his evaluation. To me, this is, it's more or less like a audition year for John, I believe, this upcoming season. Because I think I do believe Barry will give him a shot at this reworked roster coming next year. And listening to some of the things that John may want to do and how he envisions this roster or this team playing next year, along with what Barry thinks. And more or less this season upcoming is going to be an audition season for him with, you know, some old faces and some new faces, some young faces and some older faces. So this is his opportunity to show that he belongs, you know, on the sideline. And he started off right with the second half of the season after the trade deadline. So he has put his best foot forward. Now what he has to do is continue to, you know, if indeed he is the coach next year, he has to continue to, you know, work on or build on the things that they have done this, you know, the last 20-some games of the season.
I heard Robbie and Joe talking about John Hines being at the press conference this morning. They were saying, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's going to be back next year? Because to our points, it's kind of awkward to have him talk about the season and to talk about his perspective of things as the general managers are talking about how they may move forward without him. It's kind of uncomfortable. And I kind of thought about it two different ways, that if they're going to bring him back next year, if they're going to bring him in, he would be there. But if they're going to move on from him, he wouldn't be there. But also, to Barry Trotz's point, He is under contract. Mm-hmm. He is this team's coach right now. He is this team's coach for this foreseeable future until he's not. So that I had a tough time really trying to read in into exactly what that meant. But when Barry talks about the evaluations that he wants to do, I do wonder, what does Barry want to uncover with these interviews? Because I don't think that Barry Trotz is ending this season with a completely neutral opinion of John Hines or a completely clean slate of what he wants to do with this team moving forward. I do think that even before all of the exit interviews, Barry Trotz had to have an evaluation of John Hines' job, of this roster as a whole, the way that this season went, underachieving before the trade deadline, overachieving after the trade deadline. So I don't think that Barry Trotz is going to be swayed one way or another completely after these exit interviews, but I do wonder, what is he looking for? Is he leaning toward John Hines coming back next year and he's really looking for confirmation from some of these veterans, the evaluation from the coaching staff, or is he leaning toward going in a different direction? There's going to be something that sparks something in him that he hears in these exit interviews that he thinks, you know what? No, John really does deserve the opportunity to come back. Because I don't think that you can only make up your mind. I don't think it'd be very wise to make up your mind completely about John Hines' job future moving forward just based off of exit interviews. I do think that he has his mind made up at least a good bit.
Yeah, I feel the same way, and I think that's very fair. You sort of asked the question, okay, he said trust the process. Mm-hmm. We're still in the evaluation, but I have to believe that if you put a percentage on it, the vast majority of the evaluation has to be in there. Like, what is he going to learn in these next couple days that he doesn't already know after being sort of embedded with the team for a long time? So I am wondering about that.
But, I mean, I can see, and you sort of alluded to it, Caroline, you know, because, Willie, you said they have some more exit interviews to do. They did the younger guys last week, back to Milwaukee. Now we have the older guys that are here that maybe, you know, are still cleaning out their lockers, getting treatment or whatever. I think he wants to talk to them first because he want to get an idea from the older guys, from the captains. How do they feel about John Hines? I think then he will go back once he hear what they feel and how they feel and their perception of John Hines. Then he will go back, evaluate it, talk with Hines some more, and kind of go from there. But I think he does want to get the veterans' opinion on John Hines.
Yeah, that's very possible. That wasn't laid out specifically today with mm-hmm. anything Barry Trotz said, and he said a lot.
Exactly.
But
he always does.
That's very plausible, right? That makes mm-hmm. it's logical. It makes sense. You know, how much control should the players have? How much input should the players have? That's up to Barry Trotz mm-hmm. too. John Hines, I thought, handled it really, really well by basically saying, "Look, I can only control what I can control," mm-hmm. right? And he said, "If you believe in yourself, if you believe that what you do is the right thing, then things should turn out all right." So I think he probably was given the choice: do you want to be up there or not? And he felt good enough about it to say, yeah, I'll go up there, and I'll talk about it. If you take a look at what 99% of the teams do, again, doesn't mean that this is what's going to happen here. All of the teams that did not make the playoffs that are making a coaching change, they let their coach go right after the season was over. So it would be against the grain to make a change after this evaluation process. But again, Barry Trotz is a first-time GM. He's a long-time coach, right? He's been where John Hines has been. Believe me, he's been teetering in a lot of places. He was teetering for the Predators for a long time. He lasted 14 years or 15 years. There were a few times where like, hey, I don't know if he's coming back. And he was back. And then finally he was gone. Then Washington, he was on the hook I don't know how many times before they broke through and won the whole thing, including the season that they won the Stanley Cup. It looked like he was going to be fired. Remember, he didn't come back to the Capitals after he won the Stanley Cup. And that wasn't decided right after the season was over. That was kind of in limbo for a while. So you look at his experiences, his might be a little unique. So I'm not sure. But it would be against what most teams do. If they're going to make a change, you know it right away. Columbus has already made their change, right? Peter Laviolette's gone in Washington. Yeah. So the Pittsburgh Penguins made changes at the top right after the season was over. They didn't wait even 24 hours. So that's what usually happens, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen here.
And I do think the Predators are in a unique situation now with general manager on the way out, general manager on the way in. And Barry Trotz kind of made it seem to me that this wasn't a decision. If there was, when the decision will be made about John Hines coming back or moving on, it doesn't sound like it's a decision that's going to be made anytime soon. He kept talking about it's a process. It's a process, both in his evaluation in the offseason and rebuilding the team moving forward. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Barry Trotz highlighted what he wants this team to be, what he has evaluated this team has been, and what he wants them to become. Where do the core veteran players and John Hines kind of fit into Barry Trotz's future vision? We will get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game.
Our expectations of this team is expectations is what you saw a little bit in the at the end of the season, a hard team to play against. Let's just start there. Young guys working an effort every night. This team has a lot of the assets, but you have to. We've got elite goaltending. Elite goaltending covers up a lot of stuff, and I want to temper the expectations a little bit. I think our turnaround in terms of getting to where we want to be is can be very quick with opportunities. But when we had to win games down the stretch, those high pressure, meaningful games where the other it was meaningful for the other game for the other team, a Winnipeg, a Colorado, a Dallas, we had a lot of trouble with them. So we've got some work to do. Let's be honest there, we've got the assets to do that.
That was Barry Trotz in the Predators' end of the year press conference. One thing that I think Barry Trotz made very clear, one thing that he repeated a few different times, was the vision moving forward: get faster, get bigger, and get more skilled players. I know that for certain is Barry Trotz's number one goal in terms of the building the roster moving forward. Now, the question is, where does he see this team fitting into that idea now? The team and the coaching staff kind of fitting into the goals of the franchise moving forward.
I think if you followed the team game in and game out, I know you guys did, they did a fantastic job being competitive. I think the record from the time that they basically made the decision to start trading guys, which I look at after they lost the crazy ending game in Minnesota. Remember, Nino Niederreiter scored. They were down 3-1 late. They came back and tied it. Then they had the heartbreaking end where the shot from the point pinballed off of Ryan McDonagh and then Ryan Hartman and then in the net. I think from that moment, it was, hey, what we've done to this point just isn't good enough. What's really the ceiling here? They started moving in the direction that they ended up at that point. From that point on, they went 16-10-2. I think you heard in that press conference, Barry Trotz was pretty surprised about how pleasantly surprised about how well they played during that time. But there were games, and Barry referenced three of them right there, when they were playing a powerhouse team, and they played a bunch of them, right? Uh-huh. They didn't play the Pigeons down the stretch. The last part of their stretch, they were playing the toughest schedule maybe in the NHL, uh-huh, the last 10 or 15 games. Now, early on, they built some confidence because they went on that road trip, right, where you guys didn't see me for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, you were gone.
I was in all the time zones and everything. They were winning. Uh-huh. But for the most part, they were beating teams that were out of it at that point. Then it got real down the stretch, and they beat some really good teams. But they also, there were some nights where when the other team turned it up and was at their best, they got exposed a little bit. The Dallas game at Dallas, right? Colorado in the first period in that last game there. There were a couple other examples that Barry Trotz pointed out. Pittsburgh was one.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh ended up with less points than the Predators at the end of the year. But, yeah, that was an example of Pittsburgh urgent, full throttle, had a little bit more than the Predators had. So he wants to be realistic about what you saw there. He is extremely encouraged, pleasantly surprised, But it would be a mistake to sit there and say, well, everything's great now. You know, let's just go with these guys and we'll be great next year. I think he understands that it's a process of blending everything together and saying, okay, you know, what's realistic for next year with these young guys? They could take a step back, but they've also shown that, man, they can do a lot of really good things out there.
Yeah, sometimes I think when situations like what occurred with the Nashville Predators happen, meaning, you know, at the trade deadline, you're selling away a bunch of pieces, then all of a sudden a bunch of people get hurt that you depended on the second half or the last 25, 30 games of the season, and then these young guys come in and all of a sudden everybody's playing great, everything looks refreshed and rejuvenated. I think sometimes as fans – we get sort of this misconception that, hey, it's going to happen next year. This team that they have is going to be even better next year now that they've played with each other. But a lot of times it doesn't work that way. And I truly believe that Barry understands that. That's why he's still in the process of evaluating this roster, because he understands that, listen, what we accomplished the last – you know, quarter of the season, it was great, but I am not going to just be naive and think we can just take the same guys and roll with it next year. That's not going to be the case. So we got to find a way to sort of mix what we did toward the end of the season last year with some of these younger guys and what we did at portions of the season at the beginning of the year when we were, you know, together full throttle and it was more of a veteran-led team. So you got to find – they're going to have to find a way to blend the two. And I think that's going to go along with whether they keep John Hines or not, whether they believe he's the guy that can mesh the young and the old and go into the season and do something special.
Yeah, that's what – another thing that I took away, one, Barry Trotz wanting to get faster, wanting to get more skilled, wanting to get bigger. And anyone who has watched this team, not just this past season, but probably the past couple of years, would agree that this is a team, especially this past season, that seemed to struggle keeping up with the speed of the game against the Colorados, against some of the teams that are at the top of the league. But I think another thing is, they want a healthy balance. That's something that Barry Trotz and David Poile each hinted at, was we need some of these veteran core players. We need their leadership. We need to have their experience to kind of shape these young guys. But you also need the young guys for the enthusiasm. You need the young guys for their contributions that they've been able to give in the second half of the season, kind of that fire that they brought in the second half of the season, and then elite goaltending. They want to marry all three things that I think currently do exist within the organization. It's just a matter of what are the right pieces? What are the right veterans do we want to continue to be the core part of this team and to be the leaders of this team? Part of the you can't bring back all the young guys. Mm-hmm. I think they would love to bring back all the young guys, but you can't bring back all the young guys and continue to be competitive at the level that I know this team wants to be. So having this vision, but trying to figure out the right pieces to move forward and trying to figure out the right leadership, to kind of guide that ship moving forward. Because Barry Trotz said, hey, we want to play to our identity. We win games by playing to our identity. But we didn't do that before the trade deadline. So I think that it makes it very clear what Barry Trotz's evaluation was of this team pre-trade deadline. Some of the things that they were missing post-trade deadline, but how do they mix all of that together moving forward so it's not a long and laborious reset period, but rather a let's get younger, let's get bigger, let's get more skilled and keep winning games moving forward.
And I think it's important to keep in mind that he did say this more than once. Mm-hmm. When you have elite goaltender,
yeah,
it does cover up a lot of stuff, as he said, a lot of weaknesses. And that is something he knows very, very well. And he knows what that's like. In his early days, he had a great goalie in Thomas Vokoun and then a great goalie in Pekarinen. And there were times where Nashville did not have a great roster to go with it, but they were still a really good team or an overachieving team to some degree. But what he's trying to build, and he said this, he goes, I want to build a great team, right? I don't just want to have a team that has elite goaltending and scraps and claws and scrapes and gets into the playoffs. You want something bigger and better. So that's the blend. I really would have loved to have seen what would have happened had they not lost Roman Josi and they just gotten somebody like a Phil Forsberg back at the end there. Because then maybe you get to get a truer picture of what you do have, right? But, you know, that's the other thing. These guys are all locked in. They're not all going to be gone, right? No. The guys that weren't there at the end. Josi, Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, to name the top four, right? Those are the four highest paid players on the team. They're all signed for multiple years after this. And so the likelihood you're going to move any of them is fairly low, right? Unless you want to do something drastic and you're not in a great position bargaining with any of them, right? You're not going to trade Josi and Forsberg. They have no trade clauses to start with. So they're take those two out. Duchesne and Johansson, we know the situation with them. They're both coming off of big injuries, and they didn't have great seasons. So I think you're much more likely to say, all right, how do we try to make this work with those guys? But who knows?
But he did allude to it last week that, hey, listen, you know, when he came on with Jarrett, listen, in regards to
Johansson. He actually gave Jarrett a shout-out today.
Did he?
Referenced what he said to Jarrett about Johansson and then repeated the same thing today.
And that's what I'm getting to. Yeah, you know, we have these guys, these veteran guys that are under these, you know, long-term deals, so to speak. But in particular, Johansson, he has to show us, you know, it's one thing to, you know, do it and be on ice and consistently playing at a level. That's one thing. We get that. We understand that. We know. We've seen you do it. Now you got to prove to us that you can do it season in and season out. Not just have a good season, take a season off, have another good season, and you're consistent throughout that whole season. We don't want just consistency in that particular season. We want it for the rest of your career while you're here. And you have to show us, Johansson, that you belong on his team.
And Ryan Johansson spoke with the media yesterday. And I think what he said was very telling about where his mindset is right now. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. And hey, don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 125 and 106.3 The Game. Join us on location as we broadcast live from Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings, located at 3300 Gallatin Pike in Nashville on Friday, April 28th. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 125, 106.3 The Game.
Is the feeling amongst this organization that kind of this year was a little bit of a stutter step? Do you guys expect to be back in the playoffs next year?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of disappointing things, but we have a lot of belief. We're really proud of our group and what we've built here, and it's going to be kind of one of those off seasons where there's no time to sit back. We're going to keep that sour taste in our mouth and make sure we're back here playing and setting ourselves up to play for the Cup. We have a lot of competition with this group. We've got a lot of young kids now who prove they can play. And then we got a lot of older guys like myself that are going to say, hold on, it's not your time yet. Or you're going to take it and take my job. So we're going to have that fun competition within a good team where we're constantly pushing each other to be the best we can be.
That was Ryan Johansson yesterday when he spoke with the media. And I think, in my opinion, I want to hear your thoughts as well. My opinion, I think that Ryan Johansson's mindset is exactly where it needs to be, or exactly where the Predators want it to be. It's, hey, I know that this offseason is going to be difficult. I know that I have a lot of work to do in this offseason. And as good as these young guys have played, I'm going to prove that they don't have any business taking my job. So I think the mindset is in the right place with Ryan Johansson. But now the question is the execution going to be there as well? Is the work going to be done to get to that point where it can be kind of a competitive battle back and forth between this veteran core and the young guys?
Well, it's going to have to be. And the bad part about it is, you know, and Trott said this, he's behind the eight ball because he's injured. So now he not only it came at the worst time for Ryan Johansson. It really did. For this reason, because not only were you not playing well throughout the season, you had some spurts where you did well, but for the most part, this was a throwaway season. You basically threw the season away. You walked in and sort of you walked in off of last year's accomplishments and figured, you know, I can just, you know, just play the season out and I have another great season. And it just didn't work out that way. So not only did you not have a good season and people were questioning you, then you get hurt toward the end of the season, the last quarter of the season. And then these young guys come in and they start playing fast and they're starting to get noticed, not just by the fans, but by upper management. And now all these questions are being asked about Ryan Johansson, and Trotsky answers them. He's, listen, this is going to be an offseason like he's never had before. He's going to have to work because he even said it. Listen, this game has gotten faster, and either you're going to catch up and keep up, or we're going to leave you behind. So you got to find a way to get play faster than what you are. We know it's sort of like this correlation with the NFL, and you know, you got the rookie coming in running a 4-3. You got the older guy, maybe he's been in the league 10 years. He doesn't run a 4-3, but from a mental standpoint, he has to stay sharp because that's what keeps him faster than the younger guy. Why? Because he knows what he's doing. He understands the game. He knows how to read coverages. He sees it before it happens. The young guy's just going. That's what Trotsky is hoping that Johansson figure out. These young guys are just going. They're learning, but they're going. But you, Johansson, you're not as fast as they are. So you have to think two steps ahead. That's what's going to make you faster. Not only that, but you're dealing with an injury. So you got to rehab and try to accomplish how do I get better as a player.
It's a tall order. And I think what's being laid out really is the days of Ryan Johansson walking into camp mm-hmm. and being assured of being the number one or number two center mm-hmm. with the guys that emerged, that's not a certainty mm-hmm. anymore. So he will have to earn it. I always enjoy Ryan Johansson. He knows the message that's being given to him. He always carries that message well. He takes ownership publicly when he's asked about his own play. He never shies away with it. He knows when he has had a really good year. He knows when he hasn't had a great year, right? He knows the challenge ahead of him right now. He's a veteran. But I think what's going to be interesting is you now look, they have a little bit more room with the salary cap. Mm-hmm. If he's on the team, like let's just take an example in the last couple of years. Jonathan Toews, mm-hmm. at one time, absolute centerpiece of a dynasty, really, making $10 million a year. But the last two or three years, and now his career with the Blackhawks has come to a close, he was still making $10 million a year, but he was not nearly the same player, and he wasn't playing the same role. So that could happen with Ryan Johansson. I'm just throwing a possibility out there. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully, would be great for the Predators if he does take that challenge, mm-hmm. but laid out there by Barry Trotz, and he really puts it to it. In the offseason, he comes back in the best shape he's been in, then there's no question he could still help this team a lot. But if he's the same player he looked like last year before the injury, then they've got other guys that are passing him up right now. They're only getting better. So that's competition. That's mm-hmm. what happens in this league.
I think in the weirdest way possible, as strange as this feels to say it, some of these injuries may have been the best thing that could happen to this team and to this organization. Because David Poile even said it, if not for some of these injuries, we may not have seen at all or to the extent of what we've seen from the Cody Glasses and the Tomasinos and the Evangelistas and the young guys that have all come up and been asked and forced really to put into these roles. So had these injuries not have happened, I don't think that we all as fans and observers of the team would have felt as or would feel as encouraged about the young guys moving forward. And it's the same thing with almost the motivating factor that I think Barry Trotz wants these young guys to push these older guys and the motivation that I think these older guys already feel that if they never had that, if they never had the opportunity to show that, hey, we can play at this level, at what rate will they continue to play at that level? Now, that's the question.
That's a big question.
that's a very important question that Barry Trotz has to evaluate moving forward. John Hines has to evaluate moving forward. But now that we've at least seen a peak of what these young guys have been able to do, I think it's weirdly the best thing for this team, for these older guys to get pushed and to see how much talent this team has behind the veteran core.
And you know, maybe this is what some of those veteran guys needed, a Duchesne or Johansson, where they needed that push, that fire up underneath their butt. Because I think sometimes, you know, veteran guys, if they really don't have a challenge behind them, some guys just kind of, you know, they can't find any self-motivation. So they kind of just kind of coast through. And a lot of times their talent takes over because, you know, because they're so talented, they still go out there and play. And you may not notice it as much. But when you get that fire lit behind you and you know somebody's pressing you to take your job, then you step it up another notch.
There are guys like that.
Exactly. So you're hoping, and I think that's what Barry's hoping with Johansson.
Well, because it gives you possibilities, right? Caroline, you look at, okay, let's come back with all these same guys. I mean, it's possible that they could come back with essentially the same team that they have. Just everybody's healthy. Mm-hmm. They've got enough guys under contract. They wouldn't have to make one single move, and they would have a team, right? If they just re-signed Cody Glass and the restricted free agents, just brought everybody back, they could do that. I don't think they will. I think they'll still look and see, can you make the team better with a trade here, a signing there? But let's say you come back with Parsonen, Sissons, Johansson, Novak, Glass. That's five centers right there. You only need four centers. Now, a couple of those guys could slide over and play the wing. But see, these are the options. Mm-hmm. You don't know going into the season about what Ryan Johansson's going to be like until you start seeing it, right? If he bounces back, great. Uh-huh. I've got a top six guy there. I've got a top two centerman. Get him in there. You don't know if Cody Glass is going to be a number one center, a two center, or three. He's probably going to be in the mix somewhere, but you compete for it, right? Same thing with Novak. You don't know that he can do the same thing in the – for 82 games as he did the last 30, 35 games, which were incredible. But he's there. Same thing with Parsonen. And really, really encouraging. He's younger than any of those guys. He got hurt, but he was doing great things. When times were really tough, when they were struggling, he was not the problem. He was doing great when the team was struggling. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy to keep in mind. But again, these are all things. You got a number of different ways that it could work out.
And that's kind of the encouraging thing is, you know, Ryan Johansson could be a top six forward next year. But if he's not, you have other options. You have other alternatives that will fit the identity that Barry Trotz wants to morph into moving forward. Get bigger, get more skilled, get faster, get younger. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And join Max Herz, Pete Weber, and Hal Gill this Wednesday at 6 o'clock on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for the Predators' end-of-season wrap-up show. They'll be joined by special guests as they look at what's ahead for the Nashville Predators. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.